lots of turns, you get to places where it's a T intersection and you have to guess which way to go. And there are other places where there's a Y or sometimes there's a loop. There are a lot of dead ends, just like the kind of mazes that you see in puzzle books and that you do on paper. Except this is one that you walk through, and so you're done in a great big cornfield. And they usually have people come and do this in the fall as far as walking through the mazes. But those mazes, those future corn mazes are growing right now. The corn is growing and getting tall. And I was reading a story about a lady who went there with her son. They were in a corn maze, and her little boy and she were having a good time. But after a while, it was taking a long time. And usually when you first enter a corn maze with some kids, they're all excited, and they're just, you know, they know they're going to make it right through really fast, and they'll figure out everything. And after a while, her son, though, a lot of times takes much longer than they think. But her son was starting to get, like she could tell, he was starting to worry that they might not find their way out of the maze. And then they came to a place in the maze where they could see a tower. And there was a man or a lady, I can't remember which it was, but there was a guy up in the tower with binoculars. And he was there so that he could see if anybody got truly stuck and lost or was crying or they got separated from their family and was crying or something like that. He could see that. And he could use a cell phone or a little radio to transmit to other people who were working at the corn maze, and he could direct them to where they needed to go to help out these people. And when the little boy saw the man at the tower, he was all relieved because he was going to be fine because the man in the tower could see everything. Now, when you're in the maze, you can't see where you're going very well. But when you get high up above, like the guy in the tower, he could see it clearly. And so he was there to assist when people would come to him with questions. And he was also there to assist if somebody didn't come for help, but they were definitely in trouble and needed somebody to be sent to them. And that has lots of parallels, of course, with our lives and with mazes. I mean, in life, there are a lot of times where we're not sure whether we're going the right direction or not. We're trying, and we think we're going the right direction, but sometimes we'll run into obstacles. We'll get to some of those dead ends in the maze where you realize you have to turn around and go back and try another direction. And so we bump into things a lot. And for sure, in life, we bump into a lot of things. Sometimes it's situations. Sometimes it's a person we're trying to figure out the right way to deal with, or maybe somebody that we'd like to help and have figured that out.
Okay.
But we bump into a lot of things, and but also we keep moving. And as an adult, you learn some things, just like the people in the corn maze. You learn that a lot of times you're not going to get out of the corn maze in 30 seconds. You're not going to have superpowers that know which way to go at every turn and be out in 30 seconds. It takes a while, so you learn to be patient. And especially for people who have gone to a corn maze more than once, if you go more than once, you go several years each year, you learn to be patient and you learn to know that it's probably going to take a little while, and you gain experience in these mazes. Some of them will have little landmarks, not everywhere because that would be too easy, but they have them some places. Like sometimes you get to a T intersection and there's a chair with a stop sign sitting there. Or sometimes you go around a curve and you see a pile of pumpkins. Or sometimes you're walking along and you look around and you see a sign that says, keep going. Sometimes you head another way and you might see a scarecrow or something like that. And they're not everywhere, but somebody who's kind of experienced and patient also learns to really pay attention to those landmarks that are there. Because then they recognize them and can remember, oh yeah, when I get to this thing, I need to go left. Or, you know, when I get to that pile of pumpkins, there's going to be a Y after the pile of pumpkins, and I'm going to need to turn right. And that's kind of the way it is with life, and especially with those who are seeking to make their paths and asking God to help them along those paths. You just over practice. I don't mean you're over practicing. I just mean over time, as you practice again and again, trying to make decisions, trying to walk on that path, you get more sensitive and more sensitive to God's voice or whatever way He chooses to direct you. Your senses just get sharpened in that area, and you just get a little better and a little better at that. You still have times when it's like, oh, I'm totally lost now. But the longer you do it, the better it gets as far as kind of recognizing you're pretty sure what He's telling you or what He's nudging you to do. And you learn how to pace yourself. You know, the little kids who are ready to go, they are fun to have because they have enthusiasm that the adults might not. I mean, the adults are obviously came there because they thought it would be cool to do with their kids or fun to do just on their own sake. And the kids make it fun when they're having fun. When they are excited, that really makes the whole thing wonderful for the other people too, for the grown-ups or whoever is with them. But then later when they get tired, and that's kind of how it is with Christians too, when you meet a young Christian who's excited, just zealous, that's encouraging to those who've been walking on the road for a while. It's a blessing to see that energy and enthusiasm. It gives encouragement. But for those who are, young and zealous and excited, it can be real helpful to have people who've been walking on the road for quite a while to help them out if they tire out or when they tire out. The little kids usually get really excited and run for a while, and then they slow down and walk, and then after a while they're like, would you carry me? How much further is it? And they often end up needing to be picked up and, carry piggyback to the end of the maze. And God has provided us with people in our lives who have the energy and the zeal, and also provided us with people who can carry us piggyback when that is needed. And He usually, He'll give us both of those roles usually at some point. Let's see. And the tower is a good reminder of God's view. He can see the big picture. He can see it all from above. He can see the whole path, see where we are on it. And sometimes, like the little boy and his mom who were walking along and they saw the tower and they headed for it when they got to go there and asked the guy in the tower, are we going in the right direction? So sometimes we realize that we should probably ask the guy in the tower. Sometimes we ask God for direction or whatever else we may need to be asking Him for at that time. Because we may be bumping into dead ends that have to do with maybe not necessarily having the knowledge of how to make a certain decision, what should I do next, but it might be relationships, it might be all kinds of things. So we can pray straight to Him, but He also watches us, and often He sees that we are in real trouble, and it's not even coming into our heads to call to Him for help. He'll send someone, and a lot of times that's some of you. Sometimes you'll be the one that He sends. And when that happens, sometimes you can tell, like if you you go over to somebody and you talk to them or encourage them, tell them, hey, that was really cool, art that you made, or you're a really good singer, or something like that. Sometimes you know that that's an encouragement to them because they said, I just really needed to hear that today. Sometimes you don't know that God sends you as a messenger. Sometimes you're delivering your message and you don't even realize that's what's going on. But anyway, God can also see when we're in trouble and need help, and we don't even know that we're in trouble, or we know we're in trouble, but we're not remembering to ask Him for help. A lot of times He will send someone. And one other, oh yeah. So I was thinking, well, the tower is obviously picture of the role God plays when he looks down and sees the big picture and directs us as best as he can. But also, I thought, well, that's also the like perspective. When you are seeing the eternal perspective, then it makes the path a whole lot clearer. When you look at things and you realize the eternal perspective, that's also like being the person in the maze and the person up in the watchtower at the same time. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about perspective priorities, I guess is a good way to put it, is priorities. What's the most important thing? What's the second most? Now, what are the really important things? What are the big things as opposed to the little things? And my favorite verse is Matthew 6:33, where in the Sermon on the Mount he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. And when you keep that eternal perspective, the reminder that it's the kind of way you live rather than necessarily specifics like your job or where you live or who you married, any of that stuff is meaningful, but it's not as important as having having the desire and God willing to do it through you to be the kind of person that Jesus was, and to be the kind of person he wants you to be. And a lot of times people try to give us advice, that puts something else that's kind of a more like a worldly perspective as important. And to where you feel like, well, if I didn't get the right job, or I wasn't the best person in my company, or I didn't marry the handsomest or the most beautiful person, or whatever, my kids didn't make, straight A's, or whatever, those worldly things just don't matter. But the world sends us lots and lots of messages that says, oh, they do matter, they do matter. But they really don't. They really don't. Relationships with other people and is where it's at. And with the Lord in the mix. And and that reminds me of paper mazes, the kind that you find in puzzle books. For a lot of people, if they're having trouble doing the maze, like the maze on paper inside of the bulletin where you've got the dog is at the beginning and the bone is at the end, and you have to get through the maze the right way for the dog to get to the bone and get his goal. A lot of times, the easiest way to do those puzzles is to start at the end or the goal, like in that one where the bone is, and then work your way back. And I'm lots more successful at doing mazes when I do that. Start at the end, and that has its parallels too. When we remember what the end, what our goal is, what the finish line is supposed to be, which is walking with the Lord and trying to love other people in the way he does, whether they deserve it or not, since he loves us, whether we deserve it or not too. That is the goal. And it clarifies things when we remember that that's what the goal is. And there's no place in life where you couldn't be able to have God work through you to be a blessing to him and to others around you, to be a channel of his love. Even when you're helpless, you have an air about you, an attitude about you that can be a real blessing. People who were taking care of me. So there's the maze. It's not a perfect analogy. Analogies aren't, but it's a good reminder to think of that perspective. The man in the tower become clear when you've got the right perspective and when you remember what the goal is.